He is Robin Leach. He is Jaden Markin. This is Car Keys. And I have a broader question. And it's funny because already Robin has one view, Jay has another. We already know this, and it has to do with Elon Musk. All right? And very simply, there are certain things that he is doing that, while visionary, aren't necessarily practical from a bottom line standpoint. And I just am curious what you think the outcome. Do you think that the car is going to, do you think he's going to be able to get away with it? Do you think he is spread too thin?
Yes, I think he's going to be able to get away with the stupid things he does.
Just because I think historically there are a lot of CEOs who do stupid side things or say things that they shouldn't.
And I should clarify, get away with by have a solvent car company.
This is for the cars that he's doing, not the rockets,
not the hyperloops. This is the guy going in 70 years when we're sitting around the dinner table wherever we are.
I can't wait for that time frame. And we're going to be talking about amazing things in 70 years on this show.
Is Tesla going to be the Model T version, if you will, of
the electric car?
The electric car.
That's a good question. I won't let Jay answer that because he's ready to speak.
I think that the Tesla will we will certainly be speaking and talking about Tesla, and I think they have definitely changed the course of automotive history, or if not totally changed it, well, changed it, accelerated it, or provoked faster changes to occur. I mean, the technology is there. Others would have grabbed it eventually and developed it. And I think in the end, we will see electric cars. There's no doubt in my mind about that. I'm not sure we will see only electric cars.
But we started with electric cars at one point, didn't we?
We didn't start. They were electric cars way back then.
Correct.
12-volt battery-powered cars.
So going back to Tesla and Elon Musk, I went through very quickly the second quarter financials publication. And there's positive and negative. Yes, they're still losing money. They are losing
less money.
Money because their gross margin was down in the first two quarters and is back up again. Their gross margin on cars is not yet what it was last year. So the margins on Model 3s is not what it is on Model S's and Model X's. There are a number of reasons for that. They've had major production
startup issues.
issues with the assembly lines, with suppliers, and that has affected their margins. Also, as we've discussed here before, I think, and Robin has brought it up, it's hard for Tesla to make money on base Model 3s. They need to sell the higher end dual motors, all wheel drive, high performance, fully loaded Teslas.
Where the profit per car is way up over the base model cars.
Yes. And so there's a combination of that. Their margins are getting better. Their gross margins are back, for whatever that means, is back over 20%. It was 27%, I think, last year. So their overhead is still what's dragging them down. But there is a point where if they manage to increase production, which they are doing, and manage to control their overheads, there is a point where they could actually make money. And I know Elon Musk has said, and I heard that interview actually this morning, I was re-listening to the interview with the analysts that he has every quarter, the phone interview, and he's expecting to break even by Q1 or Q2 of next year.
Right.
It's a little ambitious.
Yeah, but the key to it all is getting its production levels up on the Model 3 up to 5,000 to 7,000 plus a week, which is now happening, which means deliveries are occurring, which means the people who put down the $1,000 deposits are now putting down the $40,000 or $50,000 or $35,000.
So there is a way to bring money into
this. And that's coming in. Okay. Every sale is bringing in. I mean, the dealers buy the cars, I guess. I don't know when they pay for the cars coming from Tesla.
Remember,
well, no,
dealers, no dealers.
But the marketers of the cars.
Well,
the cars
but
no, they're company owned.
No, but I don't know who you write the check to.
Tesla.
You wrote a check to Tesla?
I never wrote a check to Tesla. But people who bought by Tesla, barring any other form of financing or leasing.
So the person who delivers the car, for example, there is a delivery center outside of Boston, very close by, and a friend of mine just picked up his Model 3, which he only ordered less than 8 weeks ago, and he got it delivered, but he ordered a base model. To Jay's point of high profit equals high cost cars, he bought a two-wheel drive Model 3. He got two options, the big battery pack and the AV or the driving assist program. And that's all he got, and I don't know what it came up to, but $42,000 or $43,000.
But they make money off the AV
option. And they make money off that, yes.
It's
an electronic computer, which...
But it's $2,000, and it's just software.
But my question is as follows. He wrote a check to Tesla. Did he write a check for $41,362.12?
Whatever his car costs.
Okay, so there's no financing.
Nope.
It's just...
I don't know how they... Tesla may or may not be doing financing.
Or does Tesla have its own financing?
I'm not sure. They do some, but then it's like the rest of the industry.
But
the money is changing hands and getting to Tesla one way or another, which is what you're talking about. And so every car that's now being delivered, Tesla's getting a check, which is offsetting the costs of building those cars and not having them in buyers' hands.
So let me go back to the positives, and I'll be the proponent of Tesla's, I think, fairly bright future if it can get through the next year or two. If you look at the Model 3, some of us were skeptical and said, well, why is he coming out with another sedan in a market that is mostly changing to crossovers and SUVs? Well, the Model 3 is a premium, small-size sedan, and it competes directly with the Mercedes Class C, with the BMW Series 3, with the Audi A4, the Jaguar F-Pace, F-Type, or E-Type, the smallest Jaguar, and the Lexus IS250. Elon Musk made the point that in the second quarter, Tesla sold more Model 3s than all of the other manufacturers combined in that segment. They have a over 50% market share in that premium sedan market.
At $5,000 a week, I guess he can make that claim because I don't think any other, none individually are selling $5,000 a week in their particular model, but I don't know.
But also,
it's a good thing to be able to boast about.
There's two things here. He is selling his cars.
Right.
They're making them. They're producing them. They're selling. And now we go off the Tesla subject if we want or not. But cars are not quite dead yet.
We're talking about sedans.
Real cars.
Of course they're not dead. I understand that it's being marketed thus. But I'm sitting here going, well, I've now lived long enough to hear the sedans are dead. And this, guess what? Sedans came back, there does seem to be a massive disconnect between car marketers and what you're being told to buy right this second, and the let's just say the family making cycle of the human being.
There's high profit in the SUV line of cars too, per car, to the manufacturers, because they basically don't cost any more to make than sedans. It's like pickup trucks. Loaded pickup trucks versus pickup trucks, which have just a cab and a big back. That pickup bed is the cheapest component probably on a pickup truck, and the engines all cost the same, no matter whether it's an A4 Audi engine or whether it's a Ford, you know, 6 engine or whatever. I mean, yes, a bigger engine costs more than a smaller engine, but the engines in all these cars have a basic cost factor, which is the same whether you're building an SUV, a sedan, a Jeep, or a pickup truck.
Do you happen to know what the average, I'm just curious as a total civilian, you know, what is the profit margin on the average car? You have a sense?
I don't know about sedans, but I saw something about trucks the other night on news, and the potential profit per vehicle on a pickup truck, maybe fairly well laden with stuff, or maybe not, to the manufacturers, is roughly $17,000.
A pop.
A vehicle coming off the line. I saw that just last night.
That's the sort of thing that I'm curious about.
And, you know, at the end of the year, and we're going to get into end-of-year sales, the advertising has started. Year-end clearances are underway. And we said last fall when we were talking about pickup truck advertising on the television that we were seeing things. You buy special editions of the Ford, Chevys, Dodges, and you can get up to $11,000 in savings over the list price. So if they're actually making $17,000 a pickup truck and they're offering potentially $10,000 or $11,000 for special editions of these trucks, they're still coming away with $5,000 to $8,000 or more profit to the factory, which tells you that situation. But I do not know about the Fusions and all that. There's not the same margin, I can tell you.
The
smaller the car and the more base model the car, you get down to a base cost no matter what it is of all the platforms and the cars coming off, and then the profits start piling up as the options start.
Crusader in me always thinks about, okay, great, so they've got a fairly good profit potential on that one. Plus the finance companies, you know, just are raking it in on interest.
Well, they are, except that you're doing it through the manufacturers. You're getting 0% financing offers now on the television.
Okay.
And 0% is 0% to you and me. It's 5 years or 6 years or whatever out, and you're not going to get the $11,000 discount as well as the 0% financing because somebody's trading off some of the money.
Gee, how business savvy of them.
But there's a lot of 0% financing. The banks may be making money on the financing situation. And the used car people who emblazoned above their signs, nobody's refused for credit. You have no credit rating, you still can get a car. And
I have
know what
to say,
paying
the other day
the
we definitely saw the repo man. That's got to be a good business. Yeah.
Well, it's a much easier business than it used to be because now they all have those scanners that the police have as well, with the databases that are updated live, and they just cruise around the streets and there's a beep on the screen every time there's a car that's
behind in
payments, and they just send the truck, pick it up, and go.
Yeah. Exactly.
That'd be a good.
And you know, we can go on side stories. I remember reading a couple of years ago in one of the car magazines, a test of the newest and baddest repo
gear
flatbed, and it's pretty amazing. They can pick up a car in less than a minute in the park. You know, even if the car is parked in the street, they have no problems. They can pick them right up. I saw another article, or I saw a video recently. I think it's German police. They do that. Now they're not reaping. You know, when cars are not well parked in the streets, they can pick it up. They pick up. They come alongside the car with
what looks like a
forklift, and they just pick up the car and take it. It takes about 10 seconds.
Yeah, to put the forklift under the body of a car.
Rest assured, our repo guys are going to get those, you know, in the next few years. So the repo business will be good for some time to come.
Okay,
yes.
So just anyone looking for a career. Just little job affair here as part of that.
Let's go back to the end of the year sales because both Jay and I are holding in our hands the 2019 new car issue of Motor Trend.
It is the same.
And they're all Car and Driver will be out with one, and Road and Track, and all of them will, which is a sign that the 18-year model year is going to become passé. Now the cover date on this is September, so we're already in September.
Of course.
For the magazine. Yeah. And October 1st, I believe, is the official end of in the automobile industry.
We finally
situation.
Got a date.
Well, that's what it's been, I believe. It may have changed, but I'm not aware of it. But that's when the taxes, the value of the car drops. 2018 becomes old on the dealer lots, and the 2019s are.
Chill, don't wait for that date to become stamped.
I just thought that for the first time.
We have 2018s and a half and 2019s
and we still
and
have 2017s on some models that have not yet been sold. And they become, when I bought my 2013 Hyundai Sonata, which is what I currently have, it was 2015 when I bought that car. And it was, I could not believe, and I'm still not sure that the car hasn't been in an accident and rebuilt. I think it wasn't, but I still cannot believe that this car did not sell all of 2013, all through 2014, and was still available when I went over with hybrid to get it serviced and went out and made some comment about how I had seen a 13 for 8,000 off, and they said, oh, we still have it.
Right.
So that's how old some cars can get on lots.
But what you said about rebuilt, and this is just something that we touched upon a few years ago, and I think that it's important that we do it again. Just with all of the water, the flood, the weather, it's just something that
cars that have been in floods have a salvage title. So,
well, theoretically, but there's a lot of stuff going on in the industry out there, and Jay shaking his head in disagreement, but that's not it's basically true. Now, there's a place that Jay knows about that sells cars. I think, I don't know what level they are, been in accidents or not, but cars for very good pricing. And down in Lower Connecticut.
Yeah, but
and we don't know what those cars have been through. But you looked at cars on that website about 4 or 5 years ago and had all some comments about it, and you thought there were some good buys there.
Yeah, but so this is a company that sells cars wholesale to the public, basically, and they just go do what other dealers do, and they just go and buy at auction, but they don't touch the cars. They put them on the lot, and they sell them with a very slim margin, and the prices are really good. But you have to do your due diligence when it comes to each and every one of those cars.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend going there. But,
right.
You wouldn't recommend going there. Okay.
No, but also, it's so interesting. We had this, when I say interesting, it's that's in quotes. But somebody had an issue with their Subaru. Different people diagnosed it differently. The air conditioning was flooding the floor of the car, and it was, you need a condenser, you needed this, you needed that. You got to go get the, go to AutoZone.
Plug drain.
So mercifully, she went to Subaru. Mercifully, Subaru got the dog hair and the crot out of the drain and cured. But
somebody
else might have sold her a new.
There are some fixes that are better known to the manufacturer's dealer body than they are to the independent. But it also,
it's
independent auto
aware
repair
of
station. But there is also the reverse, as I have discovered. I had a cruise control problem in my Eurovan a few years ago, and I know we're going to new cars in a minute, Jay. But the Volkswagen dealer wanted to change one thing, and then I went to my independent guy, and he had to change the emergency flasher switch.
Yeah.
And that was what was triggering the malfunction of the
cruise
control.
I had the same thing with the VW, where an independent person saved me about $1 zillion.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so the idea that you both have, it's a showstopper, so go for it.
Jay is going to go for it.
Well, I look through the – every year, this is a Motor Trend, and they come out in two separate issues. They come out with new cars and a new
next
cars
month
issue.
It's the trucks.
And next month, it's the trucks and SUVs. So this week, we can talk about the new cars. And there are a bunch of significant cars that have some significance in our markets. And I think of new models coming out. Audi has a few of them. New A6 is coming out. The new A8 is coming out. We're talking about luxury cars, but you see quite a few of those cars here. So back to Robin's point, yes, we're going into sales season, but if you're going to buy a new car, just be aware that if you are buying, for instance, a new A6, you're probably going to be buying a car. If you're buying a new A6 today, you're buying a car that's going to be quote unquote obsolete
three years from now, in
a few months. You're going to have a model. If the price is really good, it may be worthwhile. Sometimes we prefer the older model versus the new model. But in the case of the Audi A6 and the A8, those are beautiful new cars coming out, A6, A7, and A8. Other cars that are significant, Nissan is coming out. I know we don't see a lot of Nissan Altimas around here, but it is a popular sedan, and they're coming out with all-wheel drive on the car. So unlike a Toyota Camry or a Honda Accord,
which does not come all-wheel drive.
You can have an Altima with all-wheel drive. So, you know, we always talk about the U.S. market, but it's actually very different markets. You know, when you look at what sells in California, and we've talked about this, and what sells here in the Northeast, it's totally different cars.
It's a big country.
It's
and
a big
Florida
country.
Is likewise like California.
But, you know, there is a big two, and in a world where crossovers and SUVs are all car based, there's no reason we can't do the reverse and put all wheel drive on
all the cars,
on,
really?
On a lot of sedans, which is what Audi started doing back in the
and
80s.
And Subaru as well.
And Subaru as well. And guess what? Those cars actually still do sell pretty well.
And then Volkswagen did it. And then, as we, Jill and I, discussed well, for a long time, VW dropped the all four motion because I suggested it was the pressure from Audi because it was taking sales away from Audi. There was no reason for Volkswagen to have dropped the four motion on their cars that could have had anything logical reason for doing it other than pressure from within the company. But I'm looking at the Nissan 2018 Nissan Kick. The Juke is mercifully disappearing. It's one of the ugliest cars I think I have ever seen on the road.
Right up there with
right
the Pontiac
Tech, exactly. But there are people that,
you know,
love.
We agreed
Juke
on that, right?
No, but this also, if you say it, even for a non-car guy, is like
the way you say it. Yeah.
They're just it's just true. But I can visualize. This is the thing. I can visualize those cars going yuck.
Yeah, and so, there's a color combination Juke running around our area. It's sort of olive green and yellow decor. I don't know who owns that, but she or he has got the only one that I know of probably in the whole state of Connecticut. And a friend of mine loves his Juke, and he drove to Arizona in it, but it's mercifully gone. And I actually like the looks of this Kick, which is an SUV. Arguably one of the least expensive ones, so they're going to get a lot of sales because a lot of people buy only on price because that price is important to their wallet. But the base price is under $19,000 for it, and it goes right up there with the Jeep Compass and a couple of other SUVs at that size.
Or if you remember
CX-3,
the original RAV4, which was little.
The original RAV4,
yes,
but now the new RAV4
is
in the mid-20s and going up.
But we're going to run out of time, but what I'm saying is, to that point, everything new has already been experimented with, because there was a point with SUVs where you needed a little teeny one for the one person and their pocket dog, and that was the original RAV4.
We are running out of time, so we look at the next drives. You know, the Honda Insight has been trying to make waves as a hybrid Prius fighter type of car. That's been
failing. They're going to succeed.
But they're going to succeed
with
this new one.
Let me barge in on this one. Yeah,
barge right in.
I was reading about the Honda Insight. It's the third one they come out with, and they may be getting it right.
It's
I think they have. Visually, yeah. I think they've gotten it really right, and the mileage is also excellent.
At least they kept
working
at it.
The first one was a two-door. The second one could not compete with the Prius. And the third one is actually based on the Honda Civic. It's a little bigger, looks like a Honda Accord, looks quite good, actually. Actually, compared to the Prius, looks a hell of a lot better.
And the highway rating for that is between 51 and 65 energy consumption, or 61 and 75 miles a gallon from low to high, and depending on the model you get in that, which is really good if the hybrids are getting up into that 60 mile per gallon range as opposed to 50, which has been the heretofore highest range that I have known.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys. Bring back your magazines next week. Baby, you can drive my-